Wow, it's been a long road in getting here. I didn't know when I was sitting here in chapel in 1977 that I would be standing before you in this way. If it's true that G.K. Chesterton, what he says is that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder, then my joy and wonder at being here this morning evokes my deepest gratitude to many people, not least of whom are the search committee, especially to Rick, Stephanie, who led the search guiding through the whole process. A real mensch, I must say. Thanks to the Goshen College board members, especially Virgil Miller, board chair, whom you've met and who I thank for his unflappable presence and just his wise counsel through this process. To the Mennonite Board of Education, especially to Carlos Romero, executive director, Dios le bendiga, hermano. To John Yordi and the presidential council, Anita, Jim, and Bill, whom I've already had a wonderful retreat yesterday. It was a great day to be with all of you, and especially John, who is gives me confidence of assuming this position along with the other good team. And all other Goshen College faculty, staff, and students, and friends who are here, thank you so much as well. And for Terry and Quinn, and I want to thank you. And those who aren't here, many other people who've been part of my journey, particularly our congregation back in Pasadena, who is learning this news as well this weekend in an official way. Now, for those of you who wagered in Professor Vic Koop's Goshen College presidential pool, I'm sorry for those of you who voted for Rabbi Mikhail Avrahim. I am not he, and my wife is not a plumber, as I understand, though she is, her father is one who is here today, and I'm very proud to say that. I'm also grateful for this opportunity to get to greet most of you for the first time and to reconnect with others of you that I've known for a long, long time. I got a little nervous about being here when I read in the record a few weeks ago that some of the Goshen College men are wearing skirts these days, mostly because I thought Professor Julie Reese, a former member of our congregation in California, might dig up some old photographs of me in a tutu and tights. And I was a little bit nervous about that. I was also a little worried that Professor Stan Grove might remember some heresy I espoused during my know-it-all teen years back in our little church in Tampa, Florida, where he was always someone I looked up to and deemed worthy of emulation, and I still do to this day. But my biggest fear was facing Professor Jonathan Roth, the biologist, again after having ruined one experiment in microbial class where I secretly inscribed in a gelatinous petri dish using Staphylococcus bacteria the words, culture, get it, culture, for service. And I just waited for it to grow over the course of the. So let me begin this morning by asking for a general absolution and then move on with a clean slate. In reflecting on the call to become the president, the next president of Goshen College, I felt the pull of a force beyond me like an iron shaving by a sacred magnet to this spot in Indiana where the leafy maples grow. Even as I stand here in this particular building with its huge beams overhead, radiating out from this spot in a grand circle, I can't help but feel that this spot is holy ground. I remember feeling a similar sort of sensation when I stood beneath the great rotunda of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, the place of Mount Calvary and the tomb of Christ. There in the center of the basilica, below the huge dome overhead, right beneath there, in the marble floor, built into the marble, there is a circle that marks what is believed by worshipers to be the very center of the world. That very spot recalls the words of the psalmist, "God is my king of old, who works salvation in the midst of or the center of the earth." It's good and right to imagine that spot in Jerusalem as the center of the world, the place where God worked out our salvation. But for all those whose lives have been irrevocably altered for the better, and for those whose lives will be changed forever still, and for all those who experience God's salvation here on this little spot in Indiana where the Elkhart River flows, I ask, is not Goshen College in its own way the navel of the earth, the center of the world for us, whose lives have literally, in my case, have been changed forever, and not just because of this point. That happened back in 1973. I, for one, believe this to be so, so much so that I want to stake my future on it, as many of you have already. I believe the world needs Goshen College. Goshen College exists to pass on to a new generation the grand and glorious biblical truths and scriptural values articulated 500 years ago by these forward-looking, outside-the-box thinking group of people called Anabaptists. I believe the core values of Goshen College, being Christ-centered, passionate learners, servant leaders, compassionate peacemakers, and global citizens, are as revolutionary in scope today as were the values of our foreparents in faith and practice. These values, backed by a wonderful strategic and a powerful strategic plan of action, are not ours to hold on to so much as ours to share. These values are much bigger than we are, and they're capable of influencing whole cultures like leaven in yeast. I believe that Goshen College's unconventional ways, balanced by what Brian McLaren calls a generous orthodoxy, makes it ecumenically contagious. I'm reminded of the story some years ago when BMW developed a motorcycle called the R80 GS. Today it's even bigger and called the R1200 GS. This bike was strange, an 800cc dirt bike that could carry suitcases, go on a highway, and best part of all, go really fast. When the BMW announced that what kind of bike it was, people began to ask, is it a touring bike, a dirt bike? Is it a cruiser? What is it exactly? And the BMW responded, it's a hybrid, something completely unique. You can't compare it to anything else. People didn't know how to think about the bike, but last year, Motorcyclist magazine named it the motorcycle of the year. This weird beast was their most desired bike, even though it doesn't fit the standard category. I think Goshen College, in a way, can be the RG1200 GS of Christian colleges. It's unique. It's a unique place. A bit odd, perhaps. Former Goshen College president J.L. Burkholder once said that Goshen College assumes that which is odd, and I see a group of men, young men here in ties. Do you always dress this way for chapel? We assume what is odd, he said, or exceptional, maybe that's the case, or different, that it may be worthwhile, even revelatory. I believe Goshen's evangelical nonconformity, borrowing the phrase from John Howard Yoder, may be among its greatest assets, a pearl of great price. The world wants what Goshen College has to offer. So I ask us this morning, what's our bashfulness about our faith and practice really about? Goshen College is part of a 500-year-old movement that before, let's say 300 years before, almost anyone, had asked for separation of church and state that is now enshrined in every constitution of most Western democracies. This little group of people was thinking about that question and died over that question. 200 years before the Emancipation Proclamation, This movement, of which we are part, called for the abolition of slavery in Pennsylvania. Before Congress passed conscientious objector laws, some of Goshen College forebears, if not Goshen College alumni themselves, went to prison rather than war. Before the Peace Corps, there was civilian public service. Before international fair trade sales became chic, Edna Ruth Byler started in her garage what would come to be known as Fair Trade 10,000 Villages Stores, and now we know about the fair trade movement. Before the University of California thought of an international studies program, Goshen College had its study service trimester, and University of California drew away Provost Henry Weaver to come help them establish it there. Before mediation services spread to judicial courtrooms throughout the United States, there was a victim offender reconciliation program in Elkhart County. Before socially just investments were even concerned and thought of by many, Mennonite Mutual Aid was advocating such investments. Before liberation theology, I think I have my dates right on this in terms of the publications, there was the politics of Jesus. Goshen College is part of a movement that has oftentimes been centuries ahead of its time. And following such a wonderful 500-year precedent, how can we keep silent? To the faculty, I'd ask, are we preparing a new generation for jobs yet not imagined and still unknown in the marketplace? Maybe we are 100 years ahead of our time. Are we thinking outside the boxes of conventional wisdom so as to train our students to live and be now what we hope the world will someday become? I believe we are. I'd ask parents, why mainstream your child in a large state university with mainstream conventional values that may be great, but less good than Goshen College? To students this morning, I'd invite those not yet here on campus and all those here already to come and join, truly, I believe this, in a revolution of ideas and a potential to be salt and light and leaven in the world. Imagine what we can do together. Come join in what Dallas Willard calls the divine conspiracy to change God's world for the better. Yes, there's a spot in Indiana where the leafy maples grow. That spot may seem, for a city kid, like it's in the middle of nowhere at the edge of the world. But in truth, I believe it's a spot at the cutting edge of God's will for the world. Perhaps the vortex of space and time when the Spirit is involved. And I believe that Goshen College can rightly claim to be in the midst of the earth, in the center of the earth, where God's salvation is made known to all who pass through its sacred portals. And with your support, I would like to stake my life on that belief. And I thank you for your support this morning. Amen.